Many people, or at least some people, see jury duty as an inconvenience, something to wiggle out of if they possibly can. But, you know, jury trials are, frankly, a hallmark of our constitutional democracy. And serving on a jury is a civic responsibility more of us should welcome. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us as we talk about juries and jury selection and jury duty with our guest, Katie Shalley, who is the Dunn County Circuit Court Clerk. And as we talk with Katie, I hope you'll join in. Have you received a summons to report for jury duty? Have you served on a jury? What was the experience like for you? Give us a call, the number 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Katie, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
Jury duty. Many people, well, some people at least dread being called for jury duty. And you probably have gotten that. I mean, talk about your role in the process maybe first.
Yeah, yep. So each clerk of circuit court throughout the state of Wisconsin each year will request jurors' names from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation through the Office of Court Operations. That's where we get the Wisconsin residents' names to see if they can qualify to serve as a juror. So some counties have to request quite a few jurors' names or individuals' names because I have a lot of jury trials. In Dunn County, we have about 14 to 15 jury trials per year, so quite a bit smaller than the larger counties. But essentially, to serve as a juror, you must be a Wisconsin resident, a citizen of the county, citizen of the United States, or a county resident, 18 years of age, and you have to understand the English language. And if you don't meet those qualifications, you do not qualify to serve as a juror. If you meet the qualifications to serve, then normally the clerk of circuit court will mail the juror a summons, and then you would be required to come in for jury duty service. In Dunn County, we summons residents for 30 days. You're allowed to serve on up to 5 different jury trial dates in a period of one time for 4 years. Say there is a 10-day jury trial. If you're selected to serve on that, then you would be done with your jury duty service after that trial has completed.
So, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Wisconsin, when compared to California, let's say, jury trials can run weeks, in California. And maybe that's just because the ones that are the notorious ones are the ones that are always running out for weeks on end. But Wisconsin is, of my recollection, known for relatively speedy trials without a whole lot of, I mean, they're done more quickly, let's say, than the other states.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on the case type. We in our county, we had like a 14-day jury trial. Mm-hmm. So that is quite a lengthy one. But yeah, not normally lasting months like you're seeing on the news in other states.
You know, why do people, I mean, you must get calls from people or saying, I can't serve or I don't want to serve. What are the typical reasons?
A lot of times it maybe doesn't work with their employer, or if they are self-employed, that can be really a financial burden for the individual. Jurors are paid a minimum of $16 per day, or the county board can set the juror's rate of pay at a higher rate. So it is kind of a financial hardship. Or individuals that maybe stay home or are caretakers for their loved ones, that is another burden or hardship for them to serve. Normally what I do is I try to work with the jurors, and we would send a summons for an entire month. And I just ask them to maybe give me 1 to 3 dates that they could potentially serve and have a backup plan available. But there are instances where maybe medically they cannot serve. It might be not comfortable for them, or maybe we can't accommodate them in a way that they would need to have some accommodations made. So that's some of the reasons we see people requesting not wanting to serve.
Yeah. I was thinking about my brother who had some diminished capacities and was called to serve. And I wrote a letter to the clerk and just outlined why it wouldn't be a good thing to have I mean, he would not be in a position to be able to serve. And I almost threw in there, but I was sure that this was not the normal way things go, that I'd be happy to serve in his place. Just because I've always thought it would be really interesting to serve and be part of this whole process.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't hear, but they didn't respond and say, "Oh, okay," or anything. I just didn't hear. We didn't hear back from them.
Yeah. If your name doesn't appear on the list that we receive from the Department of Transportation, we're unable to swap individuals. But I do have that request quite often of, "My spouse would like to serve for me, but unfortunately, we cannot do that."
Okay. Well, you know, the right to be tried by a jury of your peers, it's enshrined in the Constitution.
That is correct.
Why do you think that was important to the founders of our society?
Well, I think it upholds a democratic process by allowing citizens to participate directly with the judicial system. Kind of ensures that trials can remain fair and impartial, and it also serves as a checks and balance with the government power, too.
Yeah, I think that plays a role. Well, JP in Fremont, Wisconsin, is up with something for us. JP, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for having me. And, Larry, you've brought me a lot of knowledge and joy over the years. Thank you.
Thank you.
I lived in Waupaca County. I was called up twice and didn't get selected. And then right in the middle of COVID, I had moved a little ways away, but Washera County. We went there, and the courthouse, it was very professional. They had us down in a room where we were all sitting away from each other, and lo and behold, I got selected to be a juror. And as it turns out, it was a tavern owner 3 miles from my house that he had a guy that was a cook for him. Say that the owner had physically assaulted him. So anyway, when we finally got brought into the courtroom, we all had to wear face masks, plastic shields. When we were let out, we had to go back into a room and keep those on. And any which way, we heard all the evidence, we got in there. And I'm not a quiet kind of person, so I just said, we have got to select a foreman, and I go, I volunteer. And the first thing, I had someone taking notes for me, and I said, first thing we're going to do is everyone put on a card, innocent or guilty. And we had 10 not guilties and 2 guilty. So then I just said, we're going to go around this room, explain all your reasonings why. Let's start with having everyone say they completely understand the charges. And the 2 that had said no, guilty, they didn't really know what it meant. So we had everyone, I said, any questions, anytime. And in a very quick manner, we got them to swing their votes, and we determined that tavern owner was not guilty.
Oh, well, what a story, JP. Thanks so much. And this process that he went through, would that be a kind of a, and this was, of course, during COVID, so different circumstance than what we're probably having right now when we go in. But what about the routine that he described?
Yeah, I would say that is very common. Besides like having to wear the face mask and the social distancing, we're no longer doing that. Of course, if people request it, we can try to accommodate that. But he is correct. Once the jurors get the case and they start to deliberate, they then would select a jury foreperson. And that's all in that jury room. Court staff is not involved with that process. In Dunn County, we show a video to all jurors that report in on that day, and it outlines kind of what they can do in that jury room. But as far as the voting process goes of guilty or not guilty, it's up to the jurors to decide how they want to do that. So his example of holding the card and trying to explain it, I think that is very normal what happens in that jury deliberation room. And each jury might be a little different, but they work through it all on their own.
Yeah, and I liked his approach there, is explaining, you know, what the person was really being tried for and the meaning of it, and finding out that two of the people were kind of really didn't understand what the actual charge was, in a way.
Correct. During the jury trial, the judge will also inform the jurors. They read a set of instructions called jury instructions. And sometimes I know the courts will give the jurors the jury instructions when they go in the jury deliberation room so that they can actually read it and have that in paper format in front of them. Sometimes that helps if there are some hangups about what the words mean and definitions.
Yeah. Katie Shelley, our guest today, Dunn County Circuit Court Clerk. It's great to have her with us today as we talk jury duty. And I hope you'll join in with your experiences as a member of the jury, or why you don't want to join in, or maybe why you do want to join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking about jury duty today with Katie Shelley, the Dunn County Circuit Court Clerk. Great to have her with us to talk about the process. And again, you can join in. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. I was thinking back to what you said about the length of a trial. You had a 14-day trial, one of the trial. They're obviously, sometimes it's one day it's done. But in a 14-day trial, I'm assuming the jurors went home.
They did in that situation. Some counties could decide to sequester the jurors, meaning they would stay in a hotel and try to be removed from the public. But that is pretty rare. That doesn't happen often, at least in our county. And I would say statewide, they're not doing a lot of sequestered jury trials.
And jurors are instructed not to discuss the case with outside of the meetings with either their fellow jurors or members of their family.
That is correct. Yep, the court will instruct them of that. It's probably a little easier on a one-day jury trial when you just report in for the morning and then you have your deliberation happens at the end of the day. But for a multiple-day jury trial, you know, the courts will remind the jurors, like, do not go home. Do not discuss this with your friends, family members. Don't do your own research to reach your own opinion. You're only to consider the evidence presented before you is how you can make your determination.
Yeah, that got to be hard to do in a 14-day trial or any day when it's more than one day, for sure.
Correct.
Doug in Outagamie County, we'll go to you. Hi, Doug.
Hey there. How are you?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to share that the experience of being on jury duty, it can be exhausting. I was on a case for 2 weeks because it was separated between, like, proving intent, proving, and also, like, proving if it happened. It was like a actual homicide case, a very violent one. So emotionally, it was really, really challenging to get through that. It was quite a burnout. And it's hard because you can't really talk to that many people at all, as a matter of fact. So it was a whole thing. And it's also really hard to sit in a room with people who who have, like, disagreements, right? There's a lot of banter back and forth between, like, what kind of evidence is presented. And at the end of the day, the decision was made, and everybody was swayed one way. That majority was swayed one way.
Yeah, Doug, I thank you very much. And I'm glad you brought that up, because it can be take an emotional toll. A long trial like that, or I imagine even a short trial. I mean, thinking about, I've got to decide whether this person or that group is responsible or not. And that, and it could mean jail or fines or something for the other person, or the person that we, you know, decide is right. Do you get post hoc? Do you get much of that back from people who have served, or maybe not for in your case, in your situation?
You know, it kind of depends on the trial. He is very true. It can be very mentally exhausting and emotionally draining on these jurors. I always think that a lot of them are not used to working in the court system and seeing the things that court employees see and hearing that. And it can be quite disturbing. We wouldn't, in our county, we partnered with our Department of Health and Human Services to refer them there if they would like any services. We do ask that they also reach out to their employers if they have any employee assistance programs for any mental health or counseling, if they need any of that follow-up afterwards. But that is a big issue statewide that I know that we're all facing, is what do you do to not cause trauma to the jurors, and how can they have a rewarding experience while making those tough decisions?
Doug, thanks again. Nancy in Eau Claire, what's on your mind?
Well, I was on a jury trial in a murder trial in Russ County. It was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, and I'd never served on a jury. And didn't know that I got there that day that it was going to be a murder trial. And I didn't get originally picked. They just didn't call my number yet. But then they went through the jurors already, and they eliminated some of them. And then my number was called up, and they asked me a few questions if I had law enforcement in my family. And I said, well, I do. With my son-in-law is a chief of police in a smaller town in Wisconsin. And they still picked me. I was really shocked. But the trial was supposed to be 5 days. We ended up deliberating or having the trial on Saturday. This started on a Monday. And we ended it not until Tuesday. And it was quite a fascinating experience.
Yeah.
But we had our jury foreman. His father was an attorney, and he was a younger gentleman, and he just did a great job and listed all the, if everything fit this charge or that charge. And we voted a few times, and there was a couple holdouts. And then the one gentleman said, he was an older gentleman, he said, well, what if he goes on and kills somebody else? And, you know, you had to explain to him, you can't look forward, you have to listen to the case. And we did find him not guilty. It was self-defense. So that was just quite the experience.
Thank you. And so an alternate, she served as Katie.
Yes. It's up to the court and sometimes the attorneys if they want to have an alternate juror. In our county, it's quite common that we have an alternate serve. They sit through the entire jury trial, but they are not allowed to deliberate, and they don't get to make that final decision. The jurors do not know who the alternate is until right before deliberation begins.
Oh, so the person participates.
Yes, they will participate. So if it's a 12-person trial and we have an alternate, we might have 13 jurors serve. And then right before the jury gets the case to deliberate, we would then excuse one of those jurors. They would have sat through the entire trial. One time we had them wait in another room because it was a homicide trial, and just keep them there to make sure we didn't know how long the deliberations would take, so that we could have a unanimous jury verdict. But some counties do them all the time, and sometimes alternates are only done on multiple-day jury trials. It just depends on the court case and the judge's preference.
Yeah. Nancy, thank you again for calling. Melvin in Madison, what's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering, about 26 or 27 years ago, I lived in Texas, and I was called, I was summoned by mail for jury duty, and I was excused because they had several things that you could check to if you wanted to be excused, and one was a teacher. You were your teacher, so I checked that, and since I would have had to miss class, and I don't remember if I had to give the reason, but I remember checking teacher or teaching, something like that. And they excused me. And I wondered if that would happens in Wisconsin.
Yeah, interesting.
It depends on the clerk of court in the county or the judges. So we have the ability to excuse jurors just depending on what their request might be. In Dunn County specifically, if I have a potential juror who is a student or a teacher, and I could have them excused to serve on a different month, that would maybe work better for their schedule. Otherwise, we do ask that our jurors pick 1 to 3 days as it is their civic duty to serve as a juror. So we try to work with them the best that we can, but it's not an automatic guarantee that they would be excused from jury duty service.
Yeah, that was one of the holdups for me, too, as a professor here on campus. I mean, I'd been happy to do it in June, July, and August.
Yes.
But if I'd been
yeah.
called during the semester, it would have been, I mean, there was nobody else to teach my class, you know?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, that does cause a hardship for jurors, and we try to work with them the best that we can.
Mike in Madison, what's on your mind?
Hi, yes, I'd like a little more clarification on the jurors' rights. I think it's the FIJA, F-I-J-A form, and specifically juror nullification, the one thing prosecutors hate, I'm told, that gives jurors the right to disagree with the law or the way the evidence was gathered.
Hmm.
So during the jury selection process, the attorneys and the judge will ask the jurors that are brought into the courtroom some questions about the case, and the attorneys then strike the jurors, and that's how they're making their selection as to who would serve on the jury trial. So if a juror has a concern about a certain topic or an issue, they should bring that to the judge or the attorney's attention during that jury selection process time.
And they're probably not going to get picked.
Yeah, and the court could excuse them, or the attorneys could exercise their striking rights to excuse the juror.
Bill in Oregon emailed to ask if the DOT provides the names for jurors. Is selection limited to holders of Wisconsin driver's license? Does the type of license matter? Real ID versus regular versus commercial and that sort of thing.
To my knowledge, it does not matter on the type of license. It's just having that Wisconsin ID with the Department of Transportation is how those names are pulled per county.
Yeah, and even if you don't have a driver's license, you need a Wisconsin ID in order to vote or do some of the other things.
Yeah.
And I assume those get taken right along with a regular driver's license.
Yes, that is correct.
Lucy emailed to say she was called for duty a few weeks after her 18th birthday when she was still in high school and completely ignorant of the process. But Lydia showed up, found herself selected to the jury for a drunk driving case. She said it was fascinating, a huge civic education for her, and has given her peace of mind ever since as a citizen, that if she found herself in such a situation, she would have a fair trial of our system.
That is great to hear and share.
I think that's absolutely great. Laura in Madison, your turn. Hi, Laura.
Well, hello. Thank you. I have always wanted to be on a jury. I have lived in Madison for 45 years. I have never been called to jury duty. Can you tell me how that happened?
Well, I've lived here longer than you, and I've never been called either, Laura, but go ahead. Why?
It's random.
It's luck of the draw.
Yeah, it really is. I have some residents that get called multiple times every 4 years. Their name is getting selected, and it's the clerk of the circuit court requests a number of people they want to get called in to serve as a juror through the selection process, and the DOT provides that information. And it's just, like you said, Larry, luck of the draw on the names that get selected.
Maybe that's why I've never won the big lotteries. I can't win it at anything here. Gary and Rhinelander, in the last 30 seconds there, 40 or so, he says that in some states they have age limits when it comes to senior citizen eligibility. For most 80 or 90-year-old people, it would be physically or mentally unable for them to serve on a jury. Does Wisconsin have age limitations?
We do not have age limitations. I do know that some counties may, they just work with the jurors on an individual basis at what that request may be, is if they can serve or not serve, or if they want to excuse the juror.
Well, I'm here in favor of those 80-year-olds, those 90-year-olds. If they're sharp, why not? Katie, this has been the flew by. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. We've all know a little more about the process because of you. Thanks.
Thank you very much for having me.
Katie Shally is the Dunn County Circuit Court Clerk. Thanks to her, and thanks to you for listening. This and all our shows are a team effort. Clara Kniper, Joel Patnod, Lee Rayburn, Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and I hope you'll stay with us. There's lots more in store right through the afternoon here on WPR News.